On today's show, Chris Middleton gets set to return to the Bucks. How will he impact the Eastern Conference? Plus, the Lakers are making fringe roster moves, but might they be hinting at a bigger move to come? All of that and much more on today's Locked On NBA.
You are Locked On NBA, your daily NBA podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome to Locked On NBA Friday, your daily podcast on the NBA. However you might be tuning in on YouTube, Odyssey, or on your favorite podcast app, thank you for making Locked On NBA your first listen every day. I'm Wes Goldberg here with Adam Mares. A bunch of stuff to get to today, including Al Horford's new contract and if the Lakers might be planning to make a trade. But let's start today with Chris Middleton, who after missing the start of the season because of offseason surgery, is expected to make his return to the Milwaukee Bucks tonight against the Lakers. Adam, what kind of impact do you expect Middleton to have for the Bucks?
An enormous one. This one's huge. Like, if we look at it, if you were to ask me right now, who in the NBA looks like, you know, how would you tier it off? Boston, to me, is in a tier all their own. Yeah. Milwaukee is in the next tier, and they probably share that tier with the Phoenix Suns. I don't know if anybody else is in their tier. But are we sure the Bucks aren't actually right there with the Boston Celtics? 15-5. They have a plus 4.9 differential on the season. 11-2 at home. And they've done that all without Chris Middleton, who really is a player that completes their roster. And oh, by the way, their most used lineup, featuring their starters and Javon Carter standing in for Chris Middleton, completely different type of player standing in. They have a ho-hum 19.7 net rating in 138 minutes. In fact, every combination you throw out that features the Bucks' main three guys without him, they all look great. So you add Middleton to that, we might be talking about a juggernaut. So to me, I think it makes a huge difference. And there might be some bumps along the way, always integrating a new player. You know, there are. But the Bucks have showed us that they're an elite team without him, and he only makes them better.
Yeah, that starting lineup that you mentioned about Milwaukee, that's the best starting lineup in the Eastern Conference. It's second behind only the Warriors in the NBA. You look at the Bucks, their defense has just been awesome all year. Chris Middleton is a very good two-way player, great defender, right. Can be used on the ball in a way that you don't necessarily want to use Giannis even off the ball. Jrue Holiday, you want him on ball, but against guards for the most part. So Chris Middleton's going to give them another guy, obviously, defensively. And like I just said, they're already elite, best defense in the league by defensive rating. Where their drawback is on the offensive end, and specifically their 17th in offensive rating. What's hurting them is the half court offense. They're 21st right now in half court offense, according to Cleaning the Glass. They were sixth last year, Adam. So a lot of that is going to improve with Chris Middleton coming back. He's their guy that they use to run pick and roll with in the half court sets. He's their mid range guy. He's a good 3-point shooter. He's going to open up things so much for them in that half court where you just figure, all right, they're already good defensively. They're going to get much better offensively when Middleton comes back and he's kind of knocked all the rust off. And at that point, I'm with you. Like, their net rating is only going to improve. Their record is only going to get better. They're only going to be more dominant on both ends of the court. They're going to be right there with the Boston Celtics, I think, at the top of the East.
This is a big return. And you're right. The question is always, that defensive rating is absurd with that starting lineup. 95 defensive rating. You look at the Celtics right now, their offense is historically great. 95 would be, you know, historically great, especially when you talk about these modern, you know, this modern era. All of those are bound to regress, even if you get better talent in there. And Middleton is a better player than Javon Carter. But you look at that offense, 17th. Can they rise that up to being a top 10? I think without a question, without a doubt, you can expect Middleton to raise them up offensively to being a top 10 unit. And I don't think that defense will fall too much. I think they're still going to be one of the two or three best defenses in the NBA. So to me, I think it's exciting times if you're Milwaukee. The only thing is they do have a schedule that's been home heavy, and you're getting a guy back, you know, as you get set. Let me see if they're set to go on the road. I know that they have, I think, among the most home games played so far. So I imagine they have a road heavy schedule coming up. Pulling it up right now. Oh, they do. Yeah. Look, the month of December, they're basically on the road the entire time. I think they got three or four home games sprinkled in. I think four home games, one of those being December 30th. So between now and December 28th, you're on the road for all but three standalone home games. That's difficult coming back from an injury. It's difficult to be on the road that much. So that's the only thing that maybe puts a complication
for Middleton. But then you can also look at it for Milwaukee. A good time to get one of your best players back when you're about to go on a road heavy schedule. You're going to need as much help as you can get. So, yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how he's able to sort of knock off whatever rusty that he's accumulated But yeah, look, Chris Middleton's awesome. And I don't think that we've talked enough about it. And every time that people have talked about the Milwaukee Bucks, yeah, we kind of put them up there with the Celtics, but the Celtics have just sort of been running away with things right now in terms of being the best team in the East. If Chris Middleton looks like what he did last year and has basically his entire career, the way that we're used to seeing Chris Middleton, like, do they become the favorite in the Eastern Conference? Are they right there with you with the Celtics? Like, how do you feel about the Bucks, assuming that Chris Middleton comes back the way we expect him to come back?
I mean, yes, already at 15-5, you already put him there. Like, what team could lose arguably their second best player? Let's just say their second or third best player. What team could lose that and still be 15-5, right there neck and neck? You know, the Celtics have also missed a piece in Robert Williams, but that's not the same. To me, Middleton, probably a more impactful player, just, you know, pound for pound or whatever, translating across the two teams. So for me, yeah, I think that you have to be impressed. And if they do manage to handle this road-heavy December and integrate him into it, I think you're looking at two very good teams, arguably the two best teams in all of the NBA.
Yeah, I wouldn't even argue that. I'm with you on that. I think those are the two best teams in the NBA.
Those poor Phoenix Suns, man, they lost by 50 points in Game 7, and we're just never going to take them seriously.
Nope.
I mean, because they look great. They look dominant.
No Chris Paul, no Cam Johnson. All they do is win games. That's all they do in Phoenix is win games. But you know what? We don't care. When you lose by 50 in Game 7 the way that you did, you don't get the benefit of the doubt anymore. I'm sorry. You lose it.
I'm going to give them a little. I think the Suns look good. I still take them seriously. But
I do too.
You're also not wrong.
No, they're the best team in the West right now. What does that mean? I don't know. We also already said that we think that Middleton replaces Javon Carter. Is there, I think I'm with you, but is there a case to bring Grayson Allen off the bench and keep Javon? Because Javon Carter has been good as a starter. I kind of like the idea of having another ball handler in that unit. Grayson Allen's okay, but Javon Carter is a better ball handler than him. And Grayson Allen can kind of come off the bench and be that sixth man kind of role guy. I mean, he's been scoring great lately. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know either. And you're speaking to the president of the Javon Carter fan club. So I go way back with Javon Carter appreciation. So I don't know what the right move is there. You're probably going to tinker a little bit. And to be honest with you, over the course of the season, you just see so many different combinations. So you'll have your answer. Maybe it's even, you know, you go somewhere else on with that lineup when everybody gets back. But I don't know. I don't know that it'll matter. Most importantly, though, we saw when the Bucks won the title 2 years ago, the thing that we saw was, as great as Giannis is, late in games, you actually put the ball in Middleton's hands.
Yes.
And you used Giannis as a screener. And this is just, again, you can look great in the regular season getting by on less than your best punch. But the thing for Milwaukee is now you get to go to your great clutch offense. And you're probably going to need it on this road trip, that clutch offense, that clutch dynamic. I'll tell you, being in Denver, watching the Jokic-Murray two-man game, Jamal Murray still has a way to go, you know, athletically and confidence-wise and this or that. The one thing that came back almost immediately was his chemistry with Nikola Jokic. I suspect Middleton and Giannis in the clutch are going to regain that confidence and chemistry rather quickly, even if Middleton is, you know, 80% of himself in the early go.
Yeah, and that two-man game doesn't really exist between Giannis and Jrue Holiday. There's a little bit of it, but not to the same degree that he has with Chris Middleton. And Jrue Holiday quietly kind of shooting numbers slipping this year. He's not scoring as much. He's shooting a worse percentage. They could really use Chris Middleton. It's almost been their offense could get so bogged down sometimes. They have these stretches of 3 or 4 minutes where they just can't score. And especially when Giannis isn't on the court, that offense completely just implodes. There's nothing to do. They've got kind of nowhere to go. So you'll be able to stagger Middleton and Giannis. They'll obviously close halves together, close games together, and you'll get to that two-man action. You'll get to your crunch time set, which is, like you said, Middleton with the ball in his hands and Giannis screening for him. And that's what turns the Bucks from a really good team to a championship contender, I think. And it's not a hot take. Chris Middleton's a really good player. He'd probably be in the running for the All-Star if he wasn't injured for half, you know, for the entire season so far. So that's it. But the Lakers, they made a roster move that has people around the NBA asking, now, why would they do that? We'll talk about that next. But first, let's talk about our friends over at BetOnline. Today's episode of Locked On NBA is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for your sports betting information, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there. From football to basketball, soccer, and esports, they have it all at BetOnline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, you can find those at BetOnline as well. They're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. Bet online, where the game starts. Thank you for making Locked On NBA your first listen every day. If you're next listen, check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast. Hot takes, the biggest stories of every day. It's available on YouTube, Odyssey, and wherever you get your podcasts. It's time to play Big Deal or Little Deal. Let's start with news out of Boston that Al Horford has agreed to a two-year contract extension worth $20 million that's going to keep him in Boston through 2025. Adam, big deal or little deal?
It's a big deal, man. I mean, he's one of those players. You know, sometimes guys find a home somewhere. Al Horford found a home in Boston, left for a little bit, and then obviously returned there to great success both before and after those dealings. He's a Celtic. He belongs there. He's a great player. And we saw this year that he's one of those guys that ties this team together. They are at an all-time high, this Boston Celtics team, and they've been at a high for several years. And Al Horford is, no pun intended, at the center of that quite often. So I think this is a great deal for the Boston Celtics. It makes a lot of sense. And here's the funniest part about it. We all have to recalibrate our brains about ages. Yet when you get old in the NBA, you're always at risk of getting hurt a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But the level of production from these guys is not dropping off. Al Horford looks very similar to me than to what he looked like 5-6 years ago, which is to say a very high-level role player. And I think it's just a great deal for the Celtics.
Yeah, he's going to be 38 by the time that this deal, this extension concludes, right? So this is going to take him pretty late into his career. So in terms of that, I agree with you. Also, his game just sort of lends itself to aging. He's developed, obviously, that three-point shot. He's shooting, what, 45% from three this year? That's probably not going to be sustainable, but it's a reliable jumper that he goes to in the playoffs quite often, too. And then defensively, he's not as agile as he once was, but he's so smart. He's got such a high basketball IQ that he just knows where to be. He could see plays like offensively unfolding before they happen. So defensively, he's able to get into the right position before that kind of stuff happens. And so I think this is a great deal. It also takes him from going from $26.5 million a year to $10 million a year. So it gives Boston some financial flexibility there too. He's worth more than $10 million. He's taking the hometown discount there to stay with the Celtics. He probably agrees with you. He's like, I found a home here. Why am I going to leave? I'm not going back to Oklahoma City. Don't make me. No, you can't make me. I think it's a great deal. And then, the one thing is, as he gets older, they're already starting to do this a little bit where you give him that second night of a back-to-back off in November and December and January and February. And, you know, they added Blake Griffin off the bench and he plays every three or four nights. And they're going to have Robert Williams coming back and he could be backup center. They got some guys there that they like. So you could give Horford those nights off and just, you know, maintain, make sure that he's ready to go for the playoffs, because the Celtics, as they are now, they're just a perennial playoff team. It gives them that luxury to do that. They're going to win 55, 60 games every year as long as Tatum and Jaylen Brown and this group are there. So it kind of gives them that luxury to give Horford time off so that he can be at his best when the playoffs come around.
And I think it's going to work out that way, to be honest with you. I mean, it's really funny to think about this team. I was listening to Brian Scalabrine talk the other day with Zach Lowe, and he just kept talking about there's a whole other level they're going to get to when Rob Williams comes back, when he gets back. And I keep thinking, like, sometimes you're at the ceiling, man. Like, sometimes you're just playing as well as you can. And it's actually a good thing because, to your point, you get Robert Williams back. Maybe Horford gets just to take a little bit of time off and you can coast, proverbially speaking, close through January, February, March. But it's great when you have two options at multiple positions. And that's Horford in a lot of ways represents that, as well as a great partner for playing with Rob Will and other front court pairings.
Yep. Let's move on. Shams Charani of The Athletic reported that the Lakers are cutting Matt Ryan, who is a player on the Lakers roster. He is one of their better three-point shooters, doesn't really do a whole lot, barely plays. And this creates an empty roster spot that could be used to facilitate a deal that sends one player out. We're not going to name that player, but probably one with a very large salary who's not very wanted there.
LeBron
James. For multiple players back. Is this a big deal or a little deal, Adam?
Well, by nature, it's a little deal. It's Matt Ryan, who, by the way, put some respect on my guy Matt Ryan's name.
Matty former Ice.
Nugget training camp invite, Matt Ryan, who is also, what is the Lakers record? 8-12. You know what it would be without Matt Ryan? 7-13. Single-handedly has won them a game so far this season with a game winner.
Right.
So put some respect on his name. But look, everything the Lakers do from now until the trade deadline is going to bring on these types of speculations, and for good reason. Of course, I think this means that there is likely a trade to happen. I can't imagine this was a waving just to bring on another 15th man. But that being said, we are approaching December 15th. We are approaching the time when trades start to pick up. So it would seem a little weird to make a move like this on December 1st in preparation for December 15th. But
that's what's kind of – that's why I can't – why do it now? Is that – are they just doing a solid to Matt Ryan? So before all these players start getting moved around,
could be
December 15th, it's like, hey, man, you got a couple weeks to get ahead of it and try to find a new spot. Like, that's the only thing I could think of. Former agent Rob Pelinka just doing a guy a solid.
Here's the game that is the most fun for us to play. And by the way, every podcast does this, and they're all – it's all hilarious, is guess what the Lakers are thinking? Because 9 times out of 10, they're not.
They're not thinking. I agree with you, but also it just seems weird to waive this guy now, not immediately have that report. When you waive a guy to sign a guy, those reports happen basically at the same time. We're waving Matt Ryan, we're signing,
right.
Blah, blah, blah.
Right.
We didn't get that second part. So it means that something's got to – unless Matt Ryan just like sucks to be around and they just the locker room
there's
can't
no
they just get rid of him. But it doesn't strike me as that kind of guy. So I don't know. It also might not be the precursor to a big Russell Westbrook move. There's been rumblings that they could be trying to move off of Patrick Beverley's expiring deal. So it might not be Russell Westbrook big, but it could be, hey, let's move Beverley's $13 million contract for a couple of $6 million contracts or something like that. I have obviously no reporting behind this. I have no idea. But I'm ready for the speculation. And I do think that the way that Russell Westbrook has been playing lately, which has been better as a sixth man, I think BetOnline has him as the odds-on favorite to win sixth man of the year now. Maybe now is the time to start shopping him and moving him. And now that he's playing kind of good. I don't know. Maybe that's the timing of it.
I don't know if it works that way, but sure.
Just trying to figure it out. Speaking of season debuts, TJ Warren available to make his season debut for the Nets Friday night against Toronto. It's going to be his first game since December 29th, 2020. Adam, big deal or little deal?
A little deal, but I'm also happy for TJ Warren. I mean, that, you know, that's a long time. You said 2020, man. Like, I know the last couple of years all feel like 1 year, but that's literally getting an entire season and a half off.
Yeah.
So big deal in my opinion for him.
Almost two full years.
And kind of exciting him. Shout out to the NC State former Wolfpack member, TJ Warren.
Are you an NC State guy?
By association, man. One of my good buddies is. So I had no team. I'm hopping on. Although you tell you what, I'm from Colorado. I have no connection to CU. Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders comes to Denver. I'm a CU fan. I got to be a CU fan. But until then, I'll be NC State.
All right. Good little college football segment there. Speaking of NC State, I love TJ Warren when he's at NC State. I thought he was a bucket. He's been a bucket since he got to the NBA. Hasn't played in almost 2 years. We'll see. But the Nets could really use a guy like TJ Warren coming off that bench, right? And so if he can be that kind of sixth man scorer guy that can play next to a Seth Curry and a Joe Harris and space, like there's a version of this where, like, look, they got TJ Warren for a reason. They knew they needed some sort of element of bench scoring, but and they needed some size also in that front court. He could play the four for them. I think this could be a big deal if he looks like he did earlier in his career before the injury, but you can't count on that. So right now it's a little deal.
That if is just so big. And maybe this is, you know, watching Jamal Murray come back from an absence, which, by the way, is not as long of an absence as what TJ Warren is facing right here. You know, there's just so much time that's needed. And you look at a guy now, it's December 1st. Is it realistic to expect him to make that big of an impact between now and February when maybe he becomes a trade piece or this or that? I don't know. That's a tough thing to sell. But nonetheless, I'm excited to see him back on the court. And lastly, predicting the Lakers is tough. Man, predicting the Nets is even tougher.
Yeah. Well, speaking of TJ Warren, which players that have barely played will make the biggest impact? We have our power rankings next here on Locked On NBA. It is Friday, which means we are counting down to the weekend with our weekly power rankings. Adam, what do you have for us this week?
This is a fun one. So, yes, we talked about Chris Middleton. We talked about TJ Warren. We talked about guys who are back and making impacts or should be making impacts. So here we are, 21 games into the season. I thought, what if we looked at players who have played 10 or fewer games so far who might make a big impact going forward? These are like forgotten guys. Forgotten impact guys that we're barely talking about. Oh, yeah, they might change the game here in the NBA.
All right, I love it.
Let's start. There's a long list, by the way, of honorable mentions here. And I want to kind of just run through them really quickly. Markelle Fultz made his season debut last year. I know he's on the Magic. You're thinking, okay, well, what does that matter? Impact on a tanking team? You just never know. It also maybe frees up. Orlando has a bunch of guys. Maybe there's a consolidation. Some of these tanking teams, they might just be players in the trade market that affect the rest of the league. Cole Anthony also on this list. I think he's played 4 games so far this year. Gary Harris also on this list. He's played 6 games this season. And then Jonathan Isaac just kind of sitting there. You know, him still coming back from injury. That's a lot of guys in the Orlando Magic that either make an impact on Orlando or who knows. Gary Harris, good player if he were on a contender.
Yeah, could be very helpful. Him, Terrence Ross, kind of a couple of veterans that could be moved. Matt Ryan, not on the honorable mention list.
hey man, this is too much Matt Ryan slander for my liking on this Friday edition of the show.
See if he's on the list. That's all.
Yeah, he's not on the list though.
He could help Denver's bench, maybe.
Maybe he could. Victor Oladipo on the list in Miami. Another guy TBD so far on the season. Bogdan Bogdanovic also coming back from injury. Who knows what he has, but he's a good player, man. That's a high-level role player. And another guy who maybe is more of a trade piece later on. I think Atlanta is like my number one trade team. I think they're going to do something. You got this one's a fun one. Chris Duarte. Do you remember Haliburton and Duarte? That's going to be the backcourt of the future. Then Ben Mathurin showed up. Like you got all, I don't know. Like that's another piece that is yet to play that who knows, maybe he's a guy that makes somebody available or is available himself or just makes the Pacers more interesting, which I think
more young players. Aaron Nesmith's been having some moments for them too. I mean, that's right. A bunch of young guys.
TJ Warren, we mentioned, and then Jay Crowder, Bossman 99, also just sitting there waiting to go to a contender. And
just waiting to swing a championship. That's what Jay Crowder's ready to do.
Hey, man, I don't know if you've been on Instagram lately, but he's doing his own promotion via his own Bossman 99 Instagram page, showing highlights on the regular of just, hey, do you guys remember when I did this?
Missed threes from the corner? Yeah, I remember that.
Man, haters ball over here. And then I got three real honorable mentions. Jaren Jackson Jr. has been back, I think, for 6 games. But again, when we calibrate Memphis, we haven't really seen a whole lot of them at full strength. He's still coming back. LaMelo Ball has played 2 games. Another guy that can make a big impact on the season. And then, of course,
you're using what, 10 games as a barometer?
Yeah. Yep, 10 games. And then Cam Johnson's the big one who's played exactly 10 games, I believe. Or maybe it was 8 games with Cam Johnson. The numbers with Cam Johnson in Phoenix, absurd. And they're another team that might be, I don't want to say a sleeping giant. They're number one in the West. But this is why I have to put respect on their name is they were good last year. They're good this year, even though they've been way more shorthanded. And Cam Johnson replacing Jay Crowder, early returns are that that's a great swap for Phoenix.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's lights out when he's on the court and he's shooting. Yep. Just a lights out shooter. Defensively, a little bit more length than Crowder had, a little bit more mobility. They're really good. And like, again, not breaking news there, but even without Chris Paul and Cam Johnson, they're 7-3 over the last 10 games. They have a net rating of plus 5.5 points per 100 possessions, outscoring their opponent. So all they do in Phoenix is win games. They just chug right along until the playoffs and then weird stuff happens. But right now they're just winning games over there in Phoenix. So those are all the honorable mentions?
Those are the honorable mentions. We can get into the top five now.
Let's do it.
Number five, Chris Paul. Chris Paul's a big one because he's played exactly 10. This is why he was on the very cutoff right there. But nonetheless, again, this Phoenix Suns team is very good. We've seen how great Chris Paul can be, especially in the clutch. And the fact that he's only played 10 games and you're still getting these performances out of Devin Booker, that's a guy that can both swing things in Phoenix's favor, but also, I don't know if you watched basketball last night. Devin Booker had 51 points in 3 quarters. He's leveled up, man, over this last season and a half, 2 seasons, whatever it's been. And part of me even wonders is this the moment where Chris Paul kind of takes a step back? I thought he was the guy last year when the going got tough for the Suns. Is Devin Booker ready to be that guy? I know he's the big shot maker, but is he actually just more than that now? And actually the ball should just be with him.
I mean, he could be. Chris Paul is an efficient shooter. He could play alongside Devin. We saw Chris Paul play alongside a ball-dominant guy like James Harden. I don't think that Devin Booker has to be James Harden level of usage dominance. But you could share that ball evenly, right? Like, the offense, Devin Booker is so good in that mid-range, just like Chris Paul is. You could basically run the offense the same way. Chris Paul, obviously, just a next-level Hall of Fame passer. But Devin Booker is a better scorer overall. Yeah. So you can kind of run the same offense, but have different looks. I'm okay with that. Devin Booker's amazing. I'm totally in. I've always been in on Devin Booker, but he's what? One of the best 15 players in the league now. I'm not sure you could have said that. Oh,
man, we might be moving him up even higher than that. I mean, 51 points in three quarters.
It's unbelievable what he's been able to do. This also could be good for Chris Paul to actually have this time off. He played 65 games last year. He's only played 10 this year. Even the 65-game season last year, he had that extended absence during the season, and I thought that kept him a little bit more fresh, weirdly, for the playoffs, and he basically was. He was good in the playoffs until just, like, weirdly he wasn't anymore in Game 7, but, give him rest. You don't need him. Devin Booker's this good. The Phoenix Suns are winning games. You don't let him take his time coming back. Keep him fresh for the postseason.
My next number four on the list, Robert Williams. We talked about him earlier. Yep. Robert Williams, man, that guy makes a huge impact. He's a little bit more – it's tough with him because he's injured a lot. And, like, what's the whole season going to look like when he does get back? But nonetheless, he represents another ceiling. If not another ceiling, just more adaptability, which the Celtics already look extremely adaptable. But you add another elite rim protector, rim roller, shot blocker, offensive rebounder, all those things. It's just another dynamic that they can use to their advantage.
Yeah, I don't think that they should start him when he comes back. I know he was a starter last year and he was, you know, central to their defense and all that kind of stuff, but they're rolling along. This offense is awesome. I know the defensive rating isn't great, but you watch them, they can still get stops when they need to get stops. So I'm not that worried about them defensively. You look at the personnel, like those are good defenders that they have on that on the floor, even without Robert Williams. But to me, same thing as Chris Paul. Keep him healthy. Make sure he's good for the playoffs. Because Robert Williams, you have one job this season, and it's to just make sure that you're one of the guys that's able to limit Giannis if and when you see Giannis in the playoffs. That is your one job. You got to be healthy when if and when that happens.
100%. Next on the list, we talked about him earlier as well. Chris Middleton, just coming back on Friday, set to come back against the Los Angeles Lakers, which, first of all, hilarious. The Lakers are now the team that you come back from injury against. Like, oh, let's get him an easy one before
we some light work.
Yeah, a little light work here. But Chris Middleton, we talked about him, so we don't have to spend too much time, but obviously a huge impact.
Next.
Number two on my list, James Harden. You almost forget. Embiid's been playing great. They've been a third story out there. Like, you have the Bucks and the Celtics are the talk of the East, but James Harden has missed a lot of games. I think he played exactly 10 or something early on, or maybe it was 8. Yeah. The whole season, if you're a 76ers optimist, is you have two great individuals that have yet to be a great duo. At some point, he's going to return and you're going to start working on becoming a great duo. I don't have a ton of faith in them working out to be the maximum of the two of their combined talents, but you know what? We can't write it off. And when he returns, that could be easily could be the storyline of January, February is, oh, here come the 76ers looking like a great duo.
Yeah, and then turns Tyrese Maxey back into that sort of weak side attacker that he was thriving in when all three of those guys are on the court. You're asking less of the Shake Miltons of the world and things like that. But yeah, you're right. We sort of forget about James Harden. We're kind of also overlooking the 76ers in general. They haven't been very good. It's partially their fault because of their record. But like Joel Embiid is putting up numbers right now. And so, yeah, you got Embiid just doing Embiid things, and if you could bring Harden back and eventually get that, they're so good that I don't even know how much chemistry they really need. Both of them are just so good individually that you get them on the court together, and we saw what they could be last year, 100%. A small sample. So,
and then lastly, it's funny because I'm guessing people are listening to this and maybe you're thinking, well, who's number one? Who could it be? And it's a testament to how out of sight, out of mind this guy has been. A lot of hype coming into the season, but I think that hype has already evaporated like a burst balloon. Kawhi Leonard. The Los Angeles Clippers, former finals MVP, two-time finals MVP, two-time NBA champion, Kawhi Leonard, who I think people have kind of just gotten annoyed with. For whatever reason, I think NBA fans have just like put him out of mind, but maybe
what do you mean for Leonard, whatever reason. What was that stat that Windhorst had? He's played of the 112 games for the Clippers, the last 112 games, he's only played like 100 and or he's missed 108 of them.
Yeah,
something crazy.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
That's why it's not for some reason. It's just because he's not on the court.
So he's a guy that, again, I have no idea what to make because with other, these other guys, there's some kind of time frame and this or that. Like, is Kawhi just going to do this all year where he plays two games every 8 games? Like, 2 out of every 10, he comes back for a little 2-game stretch and then he's out for 6 more, 7 more. I don't know, man.
I don't know that he's going to do that for the rest of the year. It might be the rest of his career that this is just what it is. I have no reason to think that it wouldn't be.
But
like, to me, Kawhi's not even a top 10 player in the NBA because you need to be available.
He's a theoretical player.
Yeah. I just, you can't even count on him anymore. I don't know. I think if you're the Clippers, you're looking at this and you're like, dude, we waited a whole year for you to come back and now you're barely playing. It's just, I don't know. You can't be happy about it.
Can't be happy. But the point is there is a scenario in where he plays 50 games this year. And this is just a weird first 20, right? I don't think that's the world we're living in, but we just don't know. And they are 13-10. They are currently ahead of the Utah Jazz. Remember when the Utah Jazz were the number one team in the NBA there for a while? They're ahead of them. They're ahead of the Warriors, ahead of the Blazers, ahead of the Timberwolves, the Mavericks, the Lakers, all these teams that we expected to be good. Here they are ahead of them. They have basically haven't had Kawhi Leonard this year. So,
and Paul George has not played a whole lot for them either. There's a reason why people pick them to be in the finals, right? Like, this is a really good roster if available and healthy and clicking. I don't know. He deserves to be number one on your list, because what we're talking about is if he's there and he's available and he's doing Kawhi Leonard things, then they could get to the finals. But it's just, oof, that is so iffy.
It's funny in the NBA because the first 20 games of the season feel awfully predictive. And in fact, historically, they have been for who's going to be playoff teams. But I do think that there's a very likely chance that 20, 30 games from now, when we get to the halfway point of the season, that there's whole new main storylines. Maybe it's the Warriors' rise. Maybe it's, you know, Robert Williams coming back. Maybe it's Kawhi Leonard. It's the Bucks. And that's why I thought this list was interesting, is there's some big variables that may or may not come into play here in the next 20 games that I think can shift the balance of power.
And as the balances of powers are shifting and the variables are being variabled, Locked On NBA has it covered every day, Monday through Friday. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On NBA wherever you listen to podcasts for 30 minutes of the NBA's top stories every day. Until next Friday, you can find me over at Locked On Heat and Adam over at Locked On Nuggets. Thank you for making Locked On NBA your first listen.